Good morning, everyone.
Hi, Martha.
Hi. Golly, it's so nice to see everyone. Hi, Adrian. When I saw you walk in, I was just like, oh, there's my light. Adrian, thank you. And my Fern and Doug are here. And gratitude to Neil for finding that song. He goes, I don't really know what you want, but I said, it's about your soul. And I think that song says, it's that soul that I'm trusting. So we're here today to understand your soul. Now, the reason, again, I'm up here to just share with you what I'm learning. I'm just up here to let you know what my spiritual journey is. And this came about because I do this class every Tuesday. It's the Fillmore Wings, and it's with people all over the United States, even Canada, and we've had this amazing conversation going on about our thoughts and what they do to us and how we can get them out of control but bring them back into control. And I stopped in the middle of the thing and I said to them, well, where's my soul in all this? And they're like, well, that's your subconscious. And I'm just like, okay, well, I didn't take it at face value. So I've spent about 3 weeks or more just digging into this and trying to understand it for myself. And I thought, why don't I share it with you? Why don't I share with you something that you probably already know, or may add some depth to understanding. God breathed life into man, making him a living soul. So that's who we are. We are a living soul. And we have a blueprint. We have a DNA. And that DNA is in us. But are we always aware of it? And I think that's the question I had when I was with the group, is because I felt like this tug of war was going on and I needed a mediator. And so I stopped and thought about, what is that mind connection? Our mind, our valuable, unbelievable mind and brain. And we're going to talk about that today. And I found this poem that just opened up my heart, that Christ asked for a home in your soul. This is his desire. He wants to rest with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to be with you alone together, where you can laugh and be silent and be delighted with one another. That is so personal. That is saying that your soul, I'm going to trip on this wire. That soul is what is communing with our Christ consciousness and bringing us into awareness. Some of this is my interpretation, but my sources are Fillmore's teachings, Emily Cady, the Revealing Word, and the Bible. So is that not cute? I told Neil I should have called this the Soul Train because I saw this and I'm like, wow. Emily Cady says we have three phases of the mind, three phases of man. That is our spirit, our soul, and our body. And you can say, well, where's it all fitting together? How am I working in alignment? How is that train all lined up so nicely going down the track? But what happens if it gets derailed? What happens if the engine breaks? What happens if the little caboose gets disconnected? We're not in alignment. So we are looking at the role that our metaphysical interpretation gives us of mind, soul, and our human mind. That engine is Christ consciousness, that spirit. That is the divine intelligence. That's that one power, one presence that we speak of. We know that all substance and ideas float through that train and penetrates our mind and the mind of our soul. That's what our soul longs for. It is a bridge. It is a conduit. Levi has a little wonderful conduit in his heart that allows his blood to go in the right direction. Our soul is our conduit that's helping us to align our mind, our body, with our divine mind, our Christ consciousness. Our human mind, and we speak this all the time, we speak these words, we talk about raising consciousness, we talk about our soul, our authentic self, our higher self. But simply put, think of the train. Our conscious mind and subconscious is now taking all of that spirit and all of that energy and putting it into us so that we can now manifest. We say, divine mind, idea, expression. So what's happening with manifestation is it's the soul expressing. It's God expressing in us. We become the hands, the feet, the voice. Have you ever felt that when you might have expressed yourself, that it wasn't quite the way you wanted to express yourself? Has that ever happened to anybody? And then you thought, I could have done differently. I could have done that in a different way. So I think the important thing about spiritual transformation is when we are aware of that, when we recognize those times when we wanted to present a different person to the world. And I think those of us still in the workplace sometimes find that more challenging. Abina, would you agree? People can sometimes create stressors. And so I was at work one day, and I was given the task of, I already had like all these patients to see. And I get this text, you have a new patient in the emergency room. And I saw her, the girl on the floor who gave me this patient, and I said, what? You know, what does everybody else have? I don't know if I can take this new patient. I was really distraught. It was a very busy day during the middle of flu season. And then I thought to her, and she says to me, well, I said I was sorry. And then I felt, you know, my heart just stopped. That wasn't right. I was letting my conscious mind and my subconscious of fear and anxiety overtake me. So I told her I was sorry, I moved on with it, but I still didn't feel right. I was out of alignment, I was derailed. I was off that track. So I go up to her, I see her down the hall. I think she thinks I'm nuts. But I went down to her and I said, you know what? I have to tell you again. I was not speaking to you from my soul. I was speaking to you from my mind because I just read some stuff by Butterworth. And she was, okay. But I needed to do that. I needed to get in alignment. And you stop then and you reflect and you can have some retrospection. So, that being said, let's take our conscious and our subconscious and look at that. And this is what Emily Cady says is happening. But there's more. I think there's more. And remember, that was written years ago, and we are evolving in our knowledge, our science. But we talk about the superconscious, that which is our divine mind, the I am. And that's what's feeding into our conscious. But as I said, we need that conduit. We need that soul. Our conscious mind is what we're all aware of here today. Charlene wants to make sure I don't walk right in front of her. She's conscious of that. And we're all sitting on benches, and we're all sharing with one another, and Wayne gets to sit with Karen.
Yeah.
And this is our thinking. This is what we think. This is what we're reacting to in our environment. what happens then, how we act in the world. What happens then is how we put everything together is our subconscious. Mm-hmm. Those emotions and those feelings, and this is what drives our actions. So I thought to myself, let's start with the caboose. Let's start with the body. What vital organ do we need to help us process our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions? We need our brain, don't we? So when we say body, do we always just think of parts of it? But all parts equal a whole. And I've become more and more fascinated with the brain, because now we know that there is imaging that can take place that can reflect what our bodies are maybe trying to think about or trying to respond to. There's an author by the name of Alan Hamilton. He's amazing. He's a neurosurgeon. He writes articles for the Spirituality and Health magazine. Has anyone here read any of his articles? He just speaks to me because he is a neurosurgeon. He sees the wonder of this vital processing organ, where it is the hardware drive of who we are. We have our neurons, we have our blood vessels, we have chemicals that flow, that we talk about creating feeling good, or driving the need for pleasure, or those which suppress our mood, those which will suppress our level of consciousness. And so we are dependent on all of that nervous system activation to move and speak and be alert and be a vital member of society. When Alan Hamilton said that which by the way, our skull can withstand 500 pounds of pressure to protect the brain. Is that not a miracle in itself? And then when we think about all of that activity, Ellen Hamilton says, when you get the brain out, it looks like a bowl of cottage cheese. But it makes you want to kneel in front of it, because it is so mysterious and miraculous, part of the human body. The question arises, do our thoughts really come from our brain, though? And that's a debate that's been talked about over centuries and centuries, dating back to the philosophers. That we are dependent on the brain, but many times our conscious mind can actually function when parts of the brain are not there. Even half the brain is gone. And they have studies to show that. So what we're doing with our conscious mind is that we get the intangible, we get the concepts from our five senses. I'm sitting here like, okay, I'm in a room, a church, there's all these people here. I'm up here talking, oh my gosh. And that's where my thoughts processing and going. And then we're trying to, it's our inner world. You ever ask somebody, what are you thinking? What's your thoughts right now? Do you ever talk to somebody and say, when they say something, what's wrong with your brain? But it's maybe your thoughts that are getting either tangled up or in this misalignment, but it's how we are trying to use our understanding, our reasoning, our abstract, and it all needs to be in harmony. So that's just the thoughts, but now let's throw in the subconscious mind. We're now inviting all of everything that has influenced us in life, our culture, our background, our beliefs, our values, our work, our relationships, our hurts, our traumas, and all of that reflects. And our mind then, as according to the revealing word, is that our mind creates our unique narrative and provides a continuous sense of identity and personality. It's who we are as a human being. It's who we are. This is the common meeting ground between God and man. And Charles Fillmore said, this is when we look at art, we look at nature, we listen to music, we experience life. We've got that common ground, our mind functioning, processing with our brain. Think of our mind as software, and we're now processing with our hardware. And we have this amazing opportunity to have a common ground to meet God. Well, to me, that's your soul. Emily Cady says, we have personality and we have individuality. You are all given life. And God breathed that soul into you with a special blueprint that gives you the opportunity to have your own individuality. This is what awakens to your, and again, I shouldn't say this is what, this is my understanding of what awakens to your Christ consciousness. That song that my dear husband picked out, I don't understand it. I don't know why I'm going, but I feel it. It's pulling me. It's got energy. That's because it's not, where is my soul? I can't say that soul is in my subconscious. I didn't believe what they said. Charles Fillmore says it's in your subconscious. Emily Cady says it's in your conscious. So who's right? I say it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. That it's the human soul connecting with the divine soul. That's how I understand it. That's how I make sense of these concepts. So soul is pure energy, goodness, delight, we talk about the illumination, that which shines through people. Soul wants nothing more than to connect with God. The desire of, and I will use this in a statement, I learned so much from that weekly group, the desire of means of God. When I desire something, it's of God. And this is what we're trying to achieve when we talk about wholeness in unity. Not oneness. Oneness is with the divine. Wholeness is when we have that harmony with our little train. The divine mind, the soul, the body, all of this then raises our sense of oneness. So we need both. I like to think of it in a simple way as well, like my experience with my friend. Was that my true identity? Is that when I felt most real? Is that when I felt my best? Am I how I wanted to be with others? And I think the soul is that property that houses, it's the warehouse of all of our 12 powers. That's the warehouse, that's the storage house of the wisdom, the understanding, the love. That's what begins to come through as fruits of our spirituality. Grace, joy, happiness. Galatians 5, 22, 23. These are where fruits abound and grow as we nurture those seeds with our soul. So, go back to this, and don't think of it as just, in my mind, superconscious, conscious, and subconscious. You've got a soul circulating throughout there. And if I wished I had a way to draw something in there. But just think about it permeating every step, every flow, every synapsis, every transmitter that gets transmitted, every action potential. Your soul is participating. And we raise our awareness to that. Now know that, and again, I love Psalms. Psalms is one of my favorite sections. It's so poetic and so comforting. In the multitude of my thoughts, and do we have a lot of thoughts? Does anybody here think they've got a lot of thoughts at times and they can't quiet them sometimes?
Yeah.
When I have these multitudes, with me, God comforts, and that delights my soul. My soul gets quieted, says, hey, wait a minute, relax. Open up your love, your understanding, your faith, to know that you can unfold your soul, but it's very personal. Everybody here does it in their own way, and nobody does it for you. You quiet your mind with affirmations. I like this because I always try to understand, we do affirmative prayer. What do I think of affirmative prayers do? They quiet you. They let you center. They let you just relax. This has no power over me. Okay, so now I can go forward. You must nurture your soul with prayer and meditation, silence. Mm-hmm. And it was on TV today. We must nurture our body and our brain with the right foods, the right interactions, the right relationships. We want to understand our soul's intention. Each one of us here, as I said, there's a blueprint. So each one of us has our own purpose. Each one of us has our own desire that the soul is trying to break through. So awaken to your soul. Express God. And you know that souls can recognize each other. I'm going to fast forward that. I'm going to go back a second. I wasn't sure whether I should do this or not, and I've been toying with it, and a voice told me, you need to tell this story, because souls can connect with one another. There was a man who was having a difficult time, not feeling well and being in and out of the hospital. But he was on the right track. So the man and his wife were going to their best friends for dinner and to celebrate, to say, okay, things are on the right track. But they weren't. Things happened again. The friend, or the wife, called the best friends and said, I need you. And they were preparing this meal of a potluck, of a fish boil. What did they do? They called everyone who was going to be present, all of the dear people who loved this man. We were going to have a wonderful dinner. They said, we're on our way. They got in their car. They came. All the guests turned their cars around. They came. And they came into the home with food, pots and pans, utensils, and it was a presence of peacefulness, a presence of love. The man was upstairs sleeping because the wife had sedated him. And as we were all together, we were laughing, we were having, breaking bread together, we were having a sense of oneness with each other. 3 hours later, the man comes down the steps and says, I've resurrected. And we all laughed, loved, hugged. Souls came together in a way that this wife would never forget, and this man had the generosity of so many souls that loved him and truly believed that those are awakening of intentions. So thank you for letting me share with you, because I think it's important that if you are a note taker or if you want to go back to the YouTube, it gives us opportunities to reflect on how does my soul connect with my experiences? How do I awaken to my soul? Am I intertwined with my loved ones? Do my souls connect? Is it shaped by my struggles and my triumphs? Yes, we know that. Is it found in my passions and my pursuits? Is your soul everywhere that you are? So thank you for listening to me, and thank you for letting me share with you something that I think is waiting to be expressed every moment of every day in each of us. So let us go into the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the